Okay, today's daf is Yevamos Daf Tzadi Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Gimlam Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avi and Ruchi Langer. L'zecher Nishmas Ruchi's grandfather, whose first yahrzeit is today, Shmuel Zanvil Ben Yehuda HaKohen Zichrono Levracha, the Neshamah Shel Avin Aliyah, through our learning, and we thank Avi and Ruchi very much for the sponsorship. So we were discussing yesterday whether an Eid Echad is Ne'eman to be Matir a Yavama, to be Matir a Yavama to the Yavam himself. I mean, we've been discussing, the Mishnah discussed an Eid Echad being Matir in Eishas Ish to be Nisus Lashuk, to marry other people. But what about if there's a Yavama in the picture? Can an Eid Echad be Ne'eman just to allow a woman to be with her Yavama? So that was the conversation we were having. That conversation is going to continue through most of Amud Aleph today. Then the Gemara is going to have a brief discussion of the drasha, the proper drasha to make from the pasuk of Ve'isha Grusha Me'isha. Why does it say a woman who's divorced Me'isha? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, is going to talk about the reverse case. What if it wasn't the husband who went to Medina Siyam and we haven't heard from him and we don't know about his whereabouts? What if it's the wife who went to Medina Siyam and we haven't heard about her, and the Eid Echad comes and says that the wife died? What would the halacha be in that case? So that's going to take us through most of Amud Beis. So let's begin. We're at the Ika da Amar on five lines from the bottom of the page, inside the Gimel Beis. The Ika da Amar. That a shayla whether the Eid Echad is going to be believed to be matir to the Yavam is not a shayla, because even the woman herself would be believed. Ditnan, because the Mishnah taught us, he isha shamra meis ba'ali tinasei meis ba'ali tisyavim. A woman who says that her own husband died, and she's the only testimony that we have that her husband died, she can get remarried. A woman says that her own husband died, she can do yibum. So her own testimony is enough to allow her to do yibum. Certainly the testimony of another Eid Echad is going to be enough to allow her to do Yibam. That's not the Shaila. Kiti Bailach L'mishri Yavama Lialma. The question is, to be Matir, when an Eid Echad is Matir Hulashuk by saying that her Yavama, that her Yavam died, or that her husband died and then her son died, meaning her son died after the husband, so the Eid Echad is coming to tell her that she can marry whoever she wants. We're not coming to tell her. So a woman who's becheskas that her husband is dead and she needs to do Yibum is an Eid Echad believed to say that she doesn't require Yibum because the Yavam is dead, or because the husband died before the son died and therefore she won't require Yibum. My time in Eid Echad, what's the reason we typically believe in Eid Echad about an Eishas Ish? Mishum de Milsa Davidu Lagluy Lo Meshaker Hachanami Lo Meshaker. Is it that when something is going to be revealed at some point, when people are going to find out whether it's correct or not, so a person would not lie about that? So over here also you'd have the same Svara. No one's going to say that the Yavam died if people are going to be able to find out whether the Yavam is in fact dead or alive, so therefore we should believe the Eid Echad about it. Oh, Dilmar, no, maybe the reason that we believe in Eid Echad typically is time of Eid Echad, Mishum Di'i Daiko Mitzvah, that we're not totally relying on the Eid Echad. It's only with the combination of the idea that she's going to be careful and research independently before she gets remarried. V'halo Daiko Mitzvah, but a woman who is faced with the situation of Yibum may not do so much research when someone comes and says that the Yavam died. The Misna who disannulate, because she can't stand the Yavam. She wants to do anything she can to avoid having to be with the Yavam. So when someone comes and says that your husband died, she's not so eager to leave her husband, so she's going to research properly before she gets remarried. But someone comes and says that the Yavam died, so she'll jump for joy and be so excited that she's not going to be in Agudah, she's not going to be stuck with this guy, and she can hit the open market and she can marry whoever she wants. She's not going to do enough independent research to warrant believing the Eid Echad. So that's the Shaila. What's the real fundamental reason that an Eid Echad is typically believed? Amrulu Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said to Nisua, we can bring a raya from our Mishnah. Amrulu Meis Balech, V'achakach Meis Benech, V'niseis, if they come and tell her your husband died and then your son died, so you don't need Yibum, so that's exactly the case we're talking about. Is an Eid Echad believed to say such a thing? So in the Mishnah, it doesn't specify who's telling her this? Is it an Eid Echad? Is it Shnei Eidim? We're going to try to prove that it's an Eid Echad that says this, and that Eid Echad would typically be believed. The Mishnah doesn't specify that. The Mishnah just says, she is told, they tell her, that her husband died and then her son died. So she gets remarried because she thinks she doesn't need Yibum. And then they come back and they say, whoops, we made a mistake, it was the reverse. Your son died first and then your husband died, so really you did need Yibum, but now she's ready to remarry to another man. Tetzei, so she has to get divorced from the man that she got married to. Vavlad Rishon Ve'achron Mamzer, and any child from before she received that news or after she received that news, irrelevant when the child was conceived, is going to be a Mamzer. Well, Hechi Dami, what exactly is the case where initially we believe reports that the husband died last, and then we believe reports that we believe the reports the husband died first, and then we believe the reports that it was reversed and that the husband died last. If it was two Eidim that reported at first and then two Eidim that reversed the report, well, why would we believe the second Eidim over the first Eidim? It's two against two. There's no reason to believe the second Eidim any more than the first set. And furthermore, would you call that a Mamzer? You'd say that that's a Mamzer? No, that's only a Suffolk Mamzer because you have Trey Trey. It's two Eidim against two. V'chite melodak hamidiktani sefer rishon Mamzer v'achronena Mamzer. And if you're going to say, yeah, when it says Mamzer, it's not being so precise, the Mishnah means a Suffolk Mamzer. No, the Mishnah we see is being very clear and precise in its language about who is and is not a Mamzer, because the Mishnah goes on to say that Harishon Mamzer v'Achroneinu Mamzer in a particular case. So you see, the Mishnah is very careful about identifying who is and isn't a Mamzer. Elulav, so what must be the case of the Mishnah? That Chad, it was one aid that came and said that your husband died and then your son died and therefore you do not need Yibum. And the only reason we don't believe that one aid is because two other aidim later came and said, no, that aid had it backwards. In fact, your son died and then your husband died. But had the two aidim not come to contradict the aidus of the Eid Echad, we would believe the Eid Echad. So apparently you see a very clear raya that an Eid Echad is believed to say about a woman who we believe needs Yibum, that she does not need Yibum, that the situation is one that does not require Yibum either, because they're going to say that the Yavam died, or like the case of the Mishnah, where they're not going to say the Yavam died, but they're going to say that the husband died while he still had a son, before the son died, and therefore there's no need for Yibum. Says Gemara, no, Liolam Treu Treu. Really, maybe the case of a Mishnah is two Eidim against two Eidim. Uchadam Ravacha Bramanyumi Be'edei Azama, Hachanami Be'edei Azama. We asked, if it's two against two, why would we believe the second set any more than the first set? It's Eidus HaChasha. No, we're not talking about Eidus HaChasha. We're talking about Eidus HaZama. When the second set of Eidim says to the first set of Eidim, Immanuel Yisab Makom Ploni, that Abbas Hayom Makom Ploni, you can't even possibly know your testimony because you were with us on that day in a different place, then we believe the second set of Eidim. It's a Chiddush of the Torah that even though typically two against two, it's their word against theirs, the Torah is Mechadesh, that when the second set of Eidim doesn't testify about the event, but the second set of Eidim testifies about the first set of Eidim, so then it's going to be the second set of Eidim is believed. There's a question in the Rishonim. Is that the Chiddush of Eidim Zomim? The Gemara says Eidim Zomim Chiddushu. And Ein L'chabal Mishas Chiddushu, that Eidim Zomim is a Chiddush. The whole concept of Eidim Zomim is a Chiddush. So there's a question in the Rishonim. What exactly makes Eidim Zomim a Chiddush? Is it the fact that we believe the second set of Eidim over the first set of Eidim? Is that the Chiddush of Eidim Zomim? Or maybe no. Maybe the Chiddush of Eidim Zomim has to be something else, because that's not really such a great chiddush that we'll believe the second set. See, when it's Eidus HaChasha, when two Eidim say Reuven killed Shimon, and two Eidim say, no, Reuven didn't kill Shimon, so it would certainly be a very great chiddush to believe any one set over the other. They're just simply contradicting each other. But, as Ramban points out in his commentary on Chumash, when two Eidim say that Reuven killed Shimon, and two other Eidim come and say, Imanu Yisem, it's not such a chiddush to believe the second set, because the second set is not talking about the Maisa at all. The second set is being made about the Edom themselves, and there's no one to contradict. No one's contradicting that Edus. Meaning, if two Edom come and say, "You guys are pasul Edom, you're a bunch of liars," they saying, "No, we're not," is not a contradiction of testimony. You're not allowed to be made about yourself. So them saying, "No, we're not liars. I promise, we're not liars," that doesn't mean anything halachically because they can't be made about themselves. So when you have Edei Azama, what you really have is the second set of Edom saying about the first set of Edom that they are liars, and that's the only Edus you have when it comes to Edus Hazama. The problem over here, as the Aruch Haner points out, Hazama is always Edus about the Edom themselves. Imanu Yisam, on the day that you claim that this event happened. But the Mishnah doesn't say that that's what the second set said. The Mishnah says the second set came and said, Chiluf Hadvarim, that it wasn't that the husband died and then the son, it was that the son died and then the husband. The second set of Edom apparently is testifying about the case, they're not testifying about the Edom. So he says that the Aruch Haner says, what you have to assume the Mishnah means, according to the way the Gemara is saying it, is that they did both. Second set of Edom came and said two things. They said, "Imanu Yisam Makomploni on Mosayom Makomploni." First of all, you, the first set of Edom, can't possibly know what you're testifying about because you were with us on that day somewhere else. And not only that, your story is incorrect because we happen to know that it was Chiluf Hadvarim, that the story was the opposite. So the truth is, we could have said the din of the Mishnah, the Aruch Haner points out, if the second set of Edom would have only been Mazim, the first set of Edom, without testifying the opposite. Without testifying that the son died first and then the husband died. Because even in that case, we would say that the halacha is that the woman has to get divorced because she's becheskas eishes ish, as long as we don't know that the husband died. I mean, if the only testimony we have that the husband's even dead is the first set of Edom, and the first set of Edom just became Edom's omen, so the woman would have to get divorced anyway. But the Tana of the Mishnah wanted to explain that there's a mamzer by Yavama, according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore it has to say that the second set of Edom is made that the Baal died as well. It's just that the woman requires Yibum, and therefore it turns out that there's going to be a child who's a mamzer based on Yavama Lashuk, meaning the Mishnah wants to emphasize that halacha, that the fact that she's a Yavama, that we were Matir Lashuk, erroneously Matir Lashuk, that itself is going to create mamzerus. We're going to be mechadish that within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. But the Aruch Haner points out, you have to say that the case of the Mishnah, according to this understanding, is that the second set of Edom are both Edei Hazama and Edei Akhasha. They're being Mazim and Machish, first set of Edom. The trouble with that is that the Rambam writes in the 18th parak of Hilchas Edos that if Edom are made about the Nidon, if Edom are made both, they're made Hachasha and Hazama, so the halacha is that it doesn't count as Hazama, it only counts Hachasha. If you're made on the Nidon, it's Hachasha and not Hazama, even if you also happen to be Mazim then, even if you also happen to say Imanu Isem. Meaning, the Rambam says, for example, two Edom come and say, Reuven killed Shimon. Two other Edom come and say, no, we were there, and you were with us that entire time. So the Imanu Isem, you were with us that entire time. So don't tell us Reuven killed Shimon. Plus, we saw Reuven didn't kill Shimon. The Rambam says that's called Edus Hachasha. It's not called Edus Hazama. So apparently, according to the Rambam, when you have both Hachasha and Hazama, it's not Mazim, the first set of Edom. So what's going on over here? How come in our Gemara we assume that it is Mazim? So the Aruch Haner points out that in the Tshuvas of the Mari Ben Lev, he quotes from the Lecha Mishnah that the Rambam was talking about when the second set of Edom were made, that they were with the Nidon and the Edom in the place that the first Edom claimed to have been. They just say that the Maisa that the first Edom claimed happened didn't really happen. But if they say, no, first set of Edom, you weren't even there, it was a totally different place. Oh, and by the way, we happen to know what happened to this guy and his son, and it's the reverse of what you said, but that was a different place, a different time. We happen to know the death didn't even happen where you said. I mean, you said, first set of Edom said that the husband died and then the son died in Los Angeles. Then the second set of Edom said, no, you were with us in Chicago that day, and we happened to see the husband die and the son die in the reverse order in New York. I mean, a totally different day. So that would be Hazama and Achasha, because that's like two separate Eduyos. It's only when it's all the same Edus that the Rambam says it will be labeled as only Hachasha and not Hazama. Now, Amalei Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, V'Amalei Rav Acha the Ravashi, Tashem, I'll bring you another raya. Eino Yishu, meaning another raya about whether an Eid Echad is believed to be Matir a Yavama, to say that a woman does not require a Yibum. Einish and Emenes Lomer Mesi Vamisha and Ase Velo Mesa Achosi Shekarnis Lebesa. A woman is not believed to say that her Yavam died so that she can go marry whoever she wants, nor is she believed to say that her sister died so that she can go and marry her sister's husband. Sounds like she herself is not believed, but any other Eirachad in the world would be believed. So apparently an Eirachad is believed to say, this is another Raya, that an Eirachad is believed to say that a Yavam is dead and therefore a woman does not require Yibam. Says Moral Taimech, if you're going to make that Diuk, meaning that we're saying that she's not believed and you're being Medayik from that, oh, she's not believed, but an Eirachad would be believed, Eima Sefer, you go and you read weiter, Eina Ishna Melomer Mesachicha Yavam Isish. A man is not believed to say that his brother is dead so that he could do Yibam on his brother's wife. Nor is a man believed to say that his wife is dead so that he can go and marry her sister. Well, you want to make the same deal that he's not believed, but an Eirachad would be believed. When is an Eirachad believed to say that a man's wife is dead so he can go marry your sister? That's not the halacha. An Eirachad is not believed about that. There's no aguna issue over there. An Eirachad is believed because b'makom igun we believe in Eirachad. The man's not going to be an aguna, so there's no an Eirachad is not believed in that case. So bishlam gabi isha mishum iguna kila barabanan by an isha we're going to believe in Eirachad because of iguna el gabi. Why would we ever believe in Eirachad when it comes to a man? So it must be that this diuk is totally incorrect. Just because we're saying the woman is not believed, it doesn't mean that an Eirachad who's not the woman would be believed. Because obviously it doesn't mean that by the man. When we say the man is not believed, we wouldn't say that an Eirachad is believed. The Chiddush in saying the woman is not believed is necessary according to Rabbi Kiva. Because one might have thought that according to Rabbi Kiva, since a Yavam Lashuk is Chayave Lavin, and according to Rabbi Kiva, Chayave Lavin there's no Tefisas Kiddushin and it's going to create Mamzerus, that you might think a woman would be believed to say that her Yavam died because she wouldn't risk lying about that. If she's found to be lying and she goes and marries someone else, all of her children are going to be mamzerim according to Rabbi Akiva. So it's just for this halach itself to tell me that the woman is not believed that we need to be told. Because it is not for the diuk that an Eirachad would be believed. Maybe an Eirachad would not be believed either. But there's a greater chiddush in not believing the woman herself. The woman is more at stake. She might lose her children. Her children might become mamzerim because of her lie. So she would never lie about such a thing. Kamash Milan, she still would lie about such a thing, and therefore we cannot believe her. But you can't be medayik anything about an Eirachad. So Gemara will give one more shot at trying to prove whether an Eirachad is believed to say that a woman does not require Yibam. So far we tried two proofs. Both proofs were rejected. Rava Amar Eirachad Em B'Yavama Mikal V'Chomer. An Eirachad is believed to say that the Yavam died and that the Yavama is Muteres L'Shuk based on the following Kal V'Chomer. Li Isser Karis Hitarta L'Isser Lav L'Kol Shkein. If we allow an Eirachad to be believed that a woman is no longer married, that her husband is dead, so we're going to allow an Eishes Ish based on Eirachad, for sure when we know that her husband is dead, it's just a question of whether she needs Yibum or not, which is only an Isser Lav for someone who needs Yibum to marry someone else. For sure we should believe in Eirachad to say that she doesn't require Yibum. Says Gemara, Amalei, Umir Rabban L'Rava, Umir Rabban Set Rava, He Atzma Tochiach. No, you can't prove that, you can't bring that as the Kal V'Chomer as a Raya. Dilis Rekaris Yitarta, Lisser Lav Lo Yitarta. She herself is believed for an Isser Karis, but is not believed for an Isser Lav. Meaning, if the woman herself says that her husband is dead, we let her get remarried. But if the woman herself says that her Yavam is dead, we don't let her get remarried. So you can't say that, oh, any time you're going to believe someone about an Eishes Ish, you have to believe them about the death of the Yavam. The woman herself we believe about her husband, and to be matir her as an Eishes Ish, but we don't believe her about the Yavam. Why don't we believe her? Sometimes there are times that she doesn't like the Yavam, so she's not going to be so careful to make sure that he's good and dead before she goes and gets remarried. When relying on the testimony of an Eirachad, sometimes she's going to so not like the Yavam and not be excited about the prospect of marrying the Yavam that she's very eager to believe any Eirachad that comes and says the Yavam has died. In fact, she's so eager to believe that she's going to just take it at face value and not do any further research and be happy to go marry someone else. And that's not okay. The only time we'd ever never believe in Eid Echad is when we believe that she's also going to do independent research to verify that she's in fact mutter to get married. So the Gemara tried three different rayas that an Eid Echad is believed to say that a Yavam is dead and therefore this woman does not need Yibum. All three rayas are rejected. So the question is, yeah, but we don't have any rayas in the opposite direction either. Meaning we haven't proven that the Eid Echad is not believed. So what do we say la halacha, la maskana? Would we believe in Eid Echad to say that a Yavam is dead? So since the rayos of Rav Sheshes and Mordechai or Rav Acha and the Svar of Rava are all rejected, so it leaves us hanging. The Rif, the Gaonim, and the Rambam in the third paragraph of Yibum Chalitza Halachai, all paskin an Eid Echad is neman about a Yavama, whether it's to say that her husband died and she requires Yibum, or whether it's to say that her husband and her son died, or that the Yavam died and she's Mutter Lashuk, she doesn't require Yibum at all. So they all paskin an Eid Echad is believed even to be Mater Yavama. The Rambam writes further over there that an Eid Echad is believed even to say that the husband, when he was B'Medina Siyam, had a son from another woman and then died, predeceased that son, and therefore she does not require Yibum. Even that type of testimony, where we don't even know that there's a son, that to testify that there was an existence of a son and the husband died before that son, that also an Eid Echad would be believed about, because it's all the same. It's all just saying that a woman that we know her husband died does not require Yibum. The Ravid, however, in the Sagas on the Rambam, disagrees with that last point. He said an Eid Echad is not going to be believed to say that the guy had a son, because the husband himself isn't believed to say. If a man is dying and on his deathbed he says, my wife shouldn't need Yibum because you should know I have another family somewhere else that I've been hiding, you know, I have another son somewhere else. We don't believe the husband. We think he's just trying to get his wife out of Yibum. So if the husband himself is not believed about that, then the Eid Echad is not going to be believed about that either. The Rashba writes that you can't compare the husband to an Eid Echad. When the husband says he has a son, the woman is not going to try to be Mevarer because she's going to trust her husband, whatever he says, and therefore it's not going to take away her chazaka that she requires Yibum. But when Eid Echad is made, we always assume that she's trying to verify everything that he says. But that isn't made. The Rambam, the Rif, the Gaonim, they all say Eid Echad is believed to be Mater Yavama. The Rush, however, says that the Dechia of Rava Svara over here is a Dechia Tova. He says it's a very strong rejection of Rava Svara, that if a woman who says on her own that the Yavam died is not going to be believed, and we're Choshesh, that maybe she's lying on purpose because she hates the Yavam and just wants to be able to marry someone else, so then for sure we should be Choshesh because of her sinna for the Yavam, that she's going to rely completely on the Eid Echad and not be Mevarer before she gets remarried to someone else. We find that we're not Choshish because of the Avas HaYavam, that she's going to want to be Misiavim to him without doing research, so therefore we believe her to say that her husband died and she needs Yibum, but there's difference between the Avas HaYavam encouraging her to marry the Yavam and the Sinas HaYavam that she's going to be very eager to believe in order to not have to marry the Yavam. So the Rush says we're not going to believe in Eid Echad over here, that it's fairly compelling what we're saying, that that it's fairly compelling to say that the rejection of Rava's Svara. So it turns out that according to at least Rov Rishonim, an Eid Echad is believed by Eidus Yavama to be made that the Yavam died and she's mutter without any chalitza. There is a discussion in the Achronim. What about an Eid Echad that's made for an Aguna that her husband died, or for a Yavama that her Yavam died, and the Eid Echad himself wants to marry her once based in his matir her? I mean, the Eid Echad says, your Yavam is dead, by the way, will you marry me? So the Eid Echad, certainly the halach in Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezra Simon Yud Beis is, that's no good. The Eid Echad is not allowed to marry her. But do we believe that Eid Echad now to allow her to marry other people? Meaning, we know he wanted to marry her, so he's saying that that the Yavam died or that the husband died, so he could marry her. He can't marry her. Now, do we believe the Eid Echad vis-a-vis other people? Can she get married to other people? So the Rabbi Kiveger and the Hagos and the Shulchan Aruch of there writes, V'me'ed Omar Meis Ploni Ve'esla Ishto. If the Eid says, this guy died, I want to marry his wife, Yesh Lomer Degamli Acher Lo Tinase. That some say that she can't even marry other people. That testimony is completely invalid. And Rabbi Kiveger is mitzayin the tshuvas ginas v'radim. What does the ginas v'radim actually say? The tshuva of the ginas v'radim in Ebn Ezra Klal Gimel Simon Aleph is about the following. It's about a brother being made that his brother is dead, in order to be able to be miyabim, the brother's wife. So the Ginnis Vardim says that he's not believed to say such a thing, and Rabbi Kivega says, oh, if a brother's not believed to say that his brother is dead, and therefore I could be miyabim his wife, so therefore, by edus of a different person also, you're not going to be believed to say that this man is dead, so I can marry his wife, and the whole edus is not accepted. Now, the Chuvus Pitzala Chachma, Rabbi Pitzala Stern, Chelik Beis Simon Beis, points out that one could argue with that Zushtel, one could say that those are very different cases. I mean, you can't necessarily prove from the fact that a brother is not believed that an Erechad the Alma is also that's made that a person has died and that he wants to marry the guy's wife is not going to be believed to be Matir to other people. He says, certainly, when a brother is made and there's no other brother around, so certainly then, of course, we're not going to believe the brother that his brother is dead, and therefore, and I want to marry his wife, I want to do Yibum. Because by testifying that the brother is dead, he's creating a Zika between himself and the woman. So in such a case, we're not going to believe him. But who says that an Eid Echad comes and says that the woman's husband died, he's not going to be believed at all? He's not creating a Zika between himself. It's a very risky game for him to play. If his whole reason of saying that is that he wants to marry her, he still may not marry her. She still has the choice to marry whoever she wants when a random Eid Echad comes and says the husband died. There's no Zika being created. So Rabbi Kivager's leap is somewhat of a leap to take from the Ginnis Radim's case that a brother's going to be believed. To then say it in this case is not so pashut at all. Weiter in the Gemara. Zem Midrash Darish Rabbi Elazar ben Masya. So the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Elazar ben Masya darshed in the pasuk that Isha Grusha Me Isha, that we Dafka said that Isha Grusha Me Isha, that you're not allowed to marry. So we said Velo Me Ish She'eno Isha. That was his drasha. But not if she's grusha from a man who's not really her husband, because her husband was really alive the whole time, and therefore she received the get, but the get was absolutely meaningless because the marriage was absolutely meaningless. She wasn't really married to the second guy. That was the drasha that Rabbi Elazar ben Masya made in our Mishnah. Amar Rav Rav, Havalei Rabbi Elazar l'Midrash Pe'Marganisa V'Darsh Pe'Chaspa. He's got this great diuk to make, because the pasuk says Mei Isha, and he could have picked a gem, and he could have really said a beautiful drasha, and instead he picked a Shvacha drasha. My Marganisa, what's the strong drasha you could have made? Titania, V'isha grusha me isha, a woman gets divorced from her husband, means afilu lo niskarsha ela me isha, psula lakuna. A kohen is not allowed to marry a woman, not just a woman who's divorced, but even a woman who's only divorced from her husband, but is not divorced vis-a-vis any other person in the world. V'hainu rea chaget, apostle lakuna. And that's the concept of rea chaget, which apostles lakuna. What does that mean, that is only divorced from her husband, but will not be divorced from anyone else in the world? So Rashi explains, it means that a man gives his wife a get and says, you are divorced from me, but vi'iyat muteras l'kol adam, you can't marry anyone else. Meaning, vis-a-vis, there are two parts to marriage. Marriage creates a heter l'baila, it allows her to be with her husband, and it also creates an iser for every other man in the world. So the man says, you know, I don't like you, but I also hate you. I also don't want anyone else to marry you. So not only do I not want to be with you, so I'm divorcing you from me, so the heter l'baila you're not going to have, but you can't be with any other man in the world either. So that is not a valid get, that's not a priestess, it has to be davar karis ben elvinan is matter her to other people, but it's at least a reach get. It's enough to say that she's not allowed to marry other people. Just one point I forgot to make before, it's a critical point over here. Tosos and Dibra Masav Taimeich, when the Gemara raises the point, how can you say that when we say that an Isha is not believed to say that her husband is dead, or that a Yavam, that her Yavam is dead rather, we want to be Medayik, but an Eid Echad would be believed. So if you're going to say that Diuk, then we should say the same thing when we say that the husband is not believed, that we should be Medayik, that an Eid Echad would be believed, that the husband's wife died. So says Tosos, Imtomer, Lamin L'Metik Misefa, why do we have to make the Diuk from the Seifa, that it can't be that it's teaching us about an Eid Echad? We could have been medayik from the resha itself, that how could an Eid Echad be believed to say that a woman's sister died, that a woman's sister died so that she could marry this man? What sort of igun would there be in that case? Meaning, one of the cases we mentioned was where a woman is not believed to say that her yavam died so that he can get married, nor that my sister died so I can marry her husband. And we want to be medayik. Oh, but an Eid Echad would be believed to say that this woman's sister died so that now this woman can marry her sister's husband. Why would an Eid Echad be believed about that? If the whole ne'amanus of Eid Echad is based on iguna, it's based on that we don't want her to be an aguna, that's not called iguna. What? Because and if we don't believe this Eid Echad, now this single girl is not going to be able to marry her sister's husband. There are plenty of other fish in the sea. She can still marry any other man in the world. How do you call that iguna? So Tosa says a very big yisod, and this is why I went back to it. It's a very important yisod. Tosa says that you have to say what Vamari Tavamati Lutchui Gabi Isha. Shayich lomar iguna afilu b'chiyagavna d'shema lo timatze adam shiyisa'ena. An unbelievable chiddush. If you are narrowing a woman's field of prospects of who she can marry, even if it's just barely narrowing the prospects of who she can marry, that also is called iguna. That's significant. That matters. That's called iguna as well. Over here, what are we narrowing her field by? By one person. We're saying your sister's husband, that's the only guy you can't marry. Pick any other person on earth. And still Tosel says, that's going to be called iguna. So that's very fascinating in terms of Poskim to use this. Poskim point out this Tosel. There's a tshuva in the Chalkos Yaakov about a man who needed prostate surgery and it was going to make him unable to have children. He wanted to know if he becomes a Petzua Daka because of it and if he has to divorce his wife because of his prostate surgery. And one of the svaras that the Chalkos Yaakov says that we have to be makel on this case, not only because it's going to destroy a whole family, but Nebuch, an elderly couple, that's normally when the prostate surgery is happening, it's going to rip apart the whole family. He's not even going to be able to have yichud with his wife anymore. So he says we have to be makel, but he says it's iguna because the woman, she's only going to be after divorce her husband, she can still marry anyone else. That's iguna. It's all called makom igun. So the poskim do use this as a critical source. Okay, new mishnah. Mishal chishal ishtal medina siam. Let's say the case is reversed. It wasn't the husband that went on a trip. The wife went away in the medina siam. Bo v'amrlo, they come and they tell the husband mesa ishtacha that his wife died. So okay, v'nasa sachosa. Now he can marry your sister. So he marries his sister. Va'achar kach basa ishto. And then the wife comes home and can't believe you married my sister. What's going on over here? So mutaris lachzor, the wife can go back to the husband. Umutar bikrovos shnia, and the husband is still mutar to the relatives of the sister who he had married while his wife was gone. Ushnia mutaris bikrovav, and the sister is permitted to his relatives because it was never really a marriage since the first wife was alive the whole time. Vimesa rishona mutar bishnia, and if then the first wife dies, then he can go back to the second wife and he can take her sister. Amru lo mesa ishto, though they tell the husband that your wife died, v'nasa sachos, and then he marries his sister, v'achar kach amru lo kayemes haisa umesa, and then they come and they say, oh, by the way, remember 6 months ago when we told you your wife died? She was alive then, but now she's dead. By now she actually died. So avlad rishon mamzer v'achronein mamzer. Any child he had with the sister before the wife actually died is going to be a mamzer, but any child he had with the sister after the wife actually died is not a mamzer. Rabbi Yossi omer, Rabbi Yossi, he says, "Kol shapostali de'acherim, postali de'atzmo, v'kol shein postali de'acherim, eino postali de'atzmo." What Rabbi Yossi means, Rashi says, "Begemar mefarishla." Tomorrow's daf tzadihem beis going to be two shitos and amurim. What Rabbi Yossi means, we'll hang on till then, till we translate what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. Says Gemar, "The afgav does ishto v'giso le'medina siyam." Let's say a man's wife and brother-in-law go le'medina siyam. What does it mean? His brother-in-law? It means the man's wife and the wife's sister's husband both go to Medina Siam. Remember, he wants to marry his wife's sister. In order for him to marry his wife's sister, now he needs two things to happen. His wife has to die in order to marry her sister, otherwise sachos ishto, and her wife's sister's husband has to die, his brother-in-law has to die, in order to be able to marry the sister, because otherwise she's an eshes ish. So, dahani hani nisum de kamitzra eshes giso agiso. Now, let's say he gets the report that both of them are dead, his wife and his brother-in-law are dead, and he marries his sister-in-law, he marries his wife's sister. Now, when they both come home alive, his wife's sister, who he's married to, is now usher to her husband, because she, relying on an eid echad, she married, she was an eshes ish and got married, relying on an eid echad that her husband was died. Afilu achi eshes giso asira ishto sharia. Even so, even though the eshes giso is usher, his wife is still mutter to him. V'lo aminu mitoch shenesra eshes giso agiso te'asher ishto olav. We don't say, well, once we're ushering the brother-in-law, we're going to usher his own wife on him as well, because why should one marriage be ruined and not the other. We should destroy both marriages if they were both relying on the same Eid Echad. No, we don't say any such thing. We follow each one as an independent halacha. The woman got married al pi Eid Echad to her brother-in-law. That woman's marriage is ruined. The man got remarried to his sister-in-law al pi Eid Echad. His marriage is not ruined. When his wife comes home, it's still going to be okay. Now, what was the case over here? That Azal Ishto Gislam Din Siyam. So Rashi explains the way we explained it, that an Eid Echad comes and is made that the wife died and that the brother-in-law died. So Sridh just asks, an Eid Echad is not made to be made for anyone other than a woman that her husband died. Mishamiguna. An Eid Echad is not believed to say to a man that his wife died. That would never be good enough to allow him to marry the sister. You need shnei edim for that. That's not called iguna. There's no iguna for a man. So Tosus writes that in fact the case is shnei edim came and said that the wife died, and one of those two edim said, oh yeah, and also the brother-in-law died. Meaning there was only an eid echad that the brother-in-law died. That has to be the case because the Gemara says that the woman is going to be asura to her husband when he comes home. That's only true if she was relying on Eid Echad. If she was relying on Shnei Edim, she's muteres to her husband. She's an anus. Ma have lalasos. What was she supposed to do? But it has to be that there were two Edim that said that the wife died. Otherwise, the man would never have been allowed to marry the wife's sister if it was only Eid Echad. So that's critical machlokas rishonim over here. Not clear at all how to defend Rashi on that. Says Gemara, lame masnis and delok Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah seems to be against the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Di Rabbi Akiva, havila achos krushaso. If it's going like Rabbi Akiva, this is an example of achos krushaso, meaning since you need a get from this husband, so it's like his wife becomes achos krushaso, meaning when the brother-in-law comes home, this man has to give a get to his sister-in-law who he married in the interim. Now, his own wife, his first wife that he was always married to, who also came home, is achos krushaso, because he gave a get to the sister. So the Tanya, kala raya Torah, ain't all our rights in the Torah don't require a get, except for an Eish HaSish that gets married based on a het from Beis Din. Rabbi Kiva Mosif, Af Eishas Ach V'Achos Isha. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you also need a get with Eishas Ach and Achos Isha. Rabbi Kiva Dom Rabbi Kiva buy a get. So since Rabbi Kiva holds you need a get in this case, Memele Yitzvah Le'Davila Achos Krushaso. So it turned out that she's Asura. When the wife comes home, she's Asura to go back to the husband because it's Achos Krushaso. So our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Akiva. Says Mar Vlavit Mar Alam Rav Gidolam Rav Chibar Yosef Amarav Hai Eishasach Echidami. No, what's the case of Eishasach that Rabbi Akiva says you need to get? Kigon Shekidesh Achiv Esha Isha, a guy's brother is Mekadesh the woman, Vahalach L'Medina Siyam, and then he goes to Medina Siyam, Vishama Shemes Achiv, and he hears that his brother is dead, Va'amad V'nasa Es Isha, so he goes and he marries his brother's wife. So that's the case where there was only kiddushin with the brother. The reason you need to get in that case because people are going to say people are going to think if you don't give a get, people are going to think that there was a tanai in the original kiddushin and the second guy was perfectly permitted to marry. The case of achos isha also, a man is mekadesh a woman, only mekadesh, and then she goes off to Medina Siyam. Vishama Shemesa, and he hears that she died. Amad Vinasa Sachosa, so he goes and he marries her sister, Damri, and she. People are going to assume, Hach Kamesa Tanai Havalei, that the first Kiddushin was with a Tanai, Vahashapir Nasiv, and therefore the second Kiddushin, when he married her sister, was a perfectly kosher marriage. So that's all by Kiddushin, that's where Rabbi Akiva says you need to get. Eli Nisuin, Mika, Lememar Tanai, Havalei Benisuin, but by Nisuin, would you ever say that there's a Tanai? By Nisuin, by like the case in our Mishnah, the first wife that the man was married to was Nisualo. They had Nisuin. So you're going to say that people are going to think that there's a Tanai in the Nisuin. No one ever assumes a Tanai in the Nisuin. Why do people assume a Tanai in the Kiddushin, not a Tanai in the Nisuin? Because Nisuin comes along with Bia. And there's a Chazaka, I know the most of Bilas or Bilas Nus. We assume that if people are having Bia, they're not going to take that lightly. They're not going to make their Bia into a Bias Nus. So there's no such thing as a Tanai in the Nisuin. I mean, there's such a thing, but it's not a common thing. It's not something people are going to be Choshish for. Amli Rav Ashi Rav Kami, I Rav Akiva, listening Nami Chamoso. But if our Mishnah could be going like Rav Akiva, which is what we're saying now, then why does the Mishnah only talk about the sister, the wife's sister, it should talk about the mother-in-law also. That Rabbi Kiva holds that once a woman dies, once a man's wife dies, his mother-in-law is mutter to him. There's no isser sreifa. Not only is no chiv sreifa, she's mutteris to him. Titania, because we have a brisa be'ish yisrufu osove eshen, that who gets sreifa, he and them. Osove asachas men of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel understands the pasuk to mean he and one woman will get sreifa. If a man marries a woman and her daughter, one of them will get sreifa, meaning the mother-in-law who we married. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Osove Shtehen. Rabbi Kiva says, no, both of them will get sreifa. So Bishlam la Abaye, Damar Mashmal, Stor Shanika Binayu, if you say like Abaye, that everyone agrees to the halacha is that that both according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, the mother-in-law gets sreifa. When Rabbi Kiva says Eshen, they both get sreifa, it means if he marries the mother-in-law and the grandmother-in-law, that both of them get sreifa. So Rabbi Shmuel, Sarva Chadik, Rabbi Kiva, Sarva Tartik, Shapir. Rabbi Shmuel holds that we're talking about the mother-in-law getting sreifa. Rabbi Kiva says yes, and if there's a grandmother-in-law in the picture, she too would get sreifa. El Rava Dabar Chamosa Lach Ramisa Ikebinayu. Listen now, Chamosa. According to Rava, Rabbi Kiva would hold that your mother-in-law becomes mutter after the wife dies. So why doesn't our Mishnah talk about that case as well? Your wife goes away, and then you marry your mother, and then the wife comes home. Why doesn't it talk about that case if our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Kiva? No, we all Rabbi Kiva says about the mother-in-law is that after your wife dies, there's no chiv sreifa on the mother-in-law, but it's still usher. You're still not allowed to marry the mother-in-law. Unlike your wife's sister, if a man's wife dies, the sister's completely muteres. It's not just that there's no chiv misa on the sister. Maybe I'll pick up there tomorrow.